Hafidey, welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Tech, and today we are going really in-depth with Togwoggle Druid. And I think this is an episode that you really should listen to as well, because for the entire season, all I have done is played Togwoggle Druid. I've tracked every single game I've played. I only changed the deck list once, and I only changed one card. And I also had a three-hour coaching session with Sipiwi. If you don't know Sipiwi is one of the best wild and one of the best standard players in the game. Give him a follow on Twitter. He is an exceptional player. And I believe in the future, that is a name you're going to associate with high legend finishes more often. Sipiwi94, that's Sipiwi94 on Twitter. This episode is going to cover a lot about the deck. Not just the basics that we touched on before. This will be much more in-depth. Like I said, I recorded every game that I played with the deck, and I only made one change, and I didn't make that change till after I had recorded 50 games with the original list. So I usually play on my iPad, or I'll play while I'm watching TV or whatever. This time around, I did none of that. I played every game on my stream, I think. I might have played a couple of games off stream, but I recorded every match. Every match had stats. So I have stats for how well I did with the deck over my sample size of games. Now, it's not a great sample size because obviously I didn't play 10,000 games, but it's a ample sample size for me to make my own kind of analysis with the deck and how I did. And we're going to go really in depth. Okay. So you're going to learn a lot about the different ways to get the combo, when you should forego the combo, what matchups are difficult, what matchups are easy, how you can tech against certain meta choices, like, you know, the whole thing. And we're going to do it right now. So we'll start off with the deck list. I think that makes the most sense. So I'm going to give you my most recent deck list. Okay. And we'll talk about the one card difference. So here we go. One Innervate, two Lesser Jasper Spellstones, two Naturalize, two Wild Growth, two Ferocious Howl, two Mind Control Tech, two Branching Paths, one Flabidinous Floop, two Swipe, one Twig of the World Tree, two Arcane Tyrant, two Nourish, one Starfall, two Spreading Plagues, one Azalina, one Dream Petal Florist, one Malfurion the Pestilent, one King Togwoggle, and two Ultimate Infestations. For the record, the one card that was different in my initial run was I did not run Starfall, and instead I ran one Giggling Inventor. But I made that change. I guess we can talk a little bit about the cards and whether I think they're core or whatnot. I don't want to touch upon too many of these things because if you play Togwoggle, you kind of know why they work, but we will. Let's talk about them a little bit. One Innervate. Now, the Innervate is good for a number of reasons. It lets you get your UI out earlier. It lets you burn a card after you play a UI. Like, say you play a UI with 5 cards in hand. Now you have 10. Now you have 9 cards in hand or 10 cards in hand, whatever. You can play a UI and then a Lesser Jasper Spellstone or whatever to make sure you don't overdraw, or you can just get rid of a UI in your hand. Like, there are multiple lines of play with Innervate. Like, you know, Innervate helps you cheat out one mana, so you can do something like a Branching Pass on 4 for armor, and then you Innervate to kill a Henge Clan thug in a spot or whatever. Like, there's different lines, right? Innervate is very helpful, and statistically, when you look at decks from rank 5 to legend, it is one of the best performing cards, especially when it comes to flex type of cards. So it definitely seems like it earns itself at least a spot for one of them at the very least. Pretty strong, I'd say. Run at least one. Two Lesser Jasper Spellstone, it's just good removal. It's very efficient removal. It's good against Zoo early in the game, because you can hit off the Light Wardens, you can, you know, do 2 damage to something and then trade it with hero power. It's good slightly later in the game because you have cards like Ferocious Howl, Branching Paths, Malfurion to buff it up and kill slightly bigger threats. It's just a good efficient choice of removal, especially for a deck that really does need it, right? We're running two Naturalize. Naturalize to me is probably one of the hardest cards to play in the deck. Playing it early sucks, okay? Playing it anytime before the end of the game where your opponent is decking out sucks. But sometimes you have to do it, like versus even Warlock. If they drop a giant on three on the draw, you know, Naturalize is great there. Obviously, it's an efficient way to remove a card that, you know, you basically have no answer for. You know, it's good in a jiffy against Zoo. Like, you know, they're going to be able to draw cards anyway. So, I mean, you know, if you have to kill a Doomguard and, you know, just to stay alive, then you got to do what you got to do. But typically, you want to save Naturalize for way later in the game, for after Togwoggle. And the thing about Togwoggle is it really puts pressure on. Like, imagine this. If your opponent has no cards in the deck and you do two Naturalizes, that means they draw four cards. That means they take 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's 7, 8, 9, 10. Plus their draw, 5, 15. They take 15 damage off of the double Naturalize when they draw the card for the next turn, if they have no cards in deck. So you can use Togwoggle in situations where you may not even be able to play Azalina, right? Because typically you want to use Togwoggle, then use Azalina to copy the ransom so that you lock your opponent out of ever getting his deck back. But in situations, like, there's times where you don't need to do that. Maybe you have a 5-5 on board or a 4-4 Tyrant, and Naturalize will allow you to make a little trades or put some damage to the face, put your opponent around 15 or sub 15, play double Naturalize, boom, he's dead. Or maybe he's at 18, but, you know, the class doesn't heal, so you double Naturalize, boom, he's going to die in two turns, right? So that's that, right? And I think that's where the strength of Naturalize really shines, because but that's also the problem, because if your opponent has a card in the deck, every card above zero that he has in the deck is one turn less of damage that you lose out on, right? So it's really important to deck your opponent out before you use Naturalize, or just try to prolong it as long as possible before you have to use a card like that. Next card is two Wild Growths, right? Wild Growth, obviously ramp, super strong, good card. We don't really have to talk about Wild Growth. It's good in Druid, right? As long as you're playing Druid, you should be playing a Wild Growth, probably, right? Two Ferocious Howl. Ferocious Howl could also be traded out with cards like Wrath, I think, or other tech choices. I personally like Ferocious Howl just because of its synergy with other cards like Lesser Jasper Spellstone, and getting 7-10 armor or 7-9 armor is pretty fucking nice. This card also needs to draw a lot, so you definitely need to see a lot of the deck, and Ferocious Howl just fits that part of the curve nicely, and gets you there. I'm also running two Mind Control tech. This is one of the tech choices in there. If you're not running Mind Control tech, then that means you're running the Oaken Summons package. I am not running the Oaken Summons package, and I don't think the Oaken Summons package is bad. I think it's just a matchup thing, right? Mind Control tech is good against boards that go wide. It's good against Paladin. It's good against some Hunter. It's good against Zoo. It's good against anything playing Giggling, pretty much. But Oaken Summons is much better against Odd Rogue, much better against Mage, you know, because, you know, you're gaining the armor and you're putting out a 3-6 taunt. So depending on the meta, like, you got to decide there what card is going to be a better performer for you. I don't really know which way is better. Like, the good thing about Oaken Summons, it also draws you a card. But if you're playing Oaken Summons, then likely you're not playing Ferocious Howl because you're probably playing Wrath. So there are a lot of, like, little small nuances you have to take into consideration. And me, I don't want to think about it. I actually like Mind Control tech. I think it's good. Everyone plays Giggling Inventor. So anytime a Giggling Inventor comes down, it really isn't that scary. It's only scary if they have something else on the board. And that's where Mind Control tech shines, because they're going to have more than three creatures, right? They're at four creatures. So you're good. You know, it's good versus other Spreading Plagues. It's good versus Zoo. It's a good tech card. It does a lot, especially with its synergy with other cards that we'll talk about. Two Branching Paths. It's a must have. Like, a Branching Paths is the perfect bridge card. And what I mean by bridge card is the perfect card to get you to what you need to do to get to the end states of the game, right? So early, you want to ramp with wild growth, but maybe you're at turn 4, turn 5, turn 6, and maybe you don't have a nourish yet, or maybe you haven't drawn a UI, or your hand is small, right? So maybe you've drawn a nourish. So you've ramped up, you've got a lot of mana, but you have few cards in hand, haven't reached a UI, you use the branching paths for draw. Maybe you haven't drawn the nourish, but you do have the UI and you're just kind of biding time till then you maybe use the branching paths for armor. You know, maybe you already have a board, you've played a spreading plague, your opponent's running out of resources, he's an aggro deck, then you use the branching paths for damage just to find an extra +2 damage per creature, right? It's very versatile, one of the strongest cards in the deck. I love it. Flabidinous Floop, this is a flex card. A lot of decks do not play it, but I think Flabidinous Floop allows you a lot of versatility. It does so many things. First of all, at its absolute worst, it's a 3-4 for 4 mana, which is not great. That's not great by any means. But we're talking about a deck that has wild growth, so you'll be able to play this on turn 3. We're talking about a deck that typically doesn't want to play this early. But even for that body, it's something. So against aggressive decks, if you have nothing better to do, then you throw the Flabidinous Floop on the board on turn 4 as a 3-4. You know, you need to, this is Hearthstone, you need to address the board state at some point, right? And chances are, unless you have a Spreading Plague or a Nourish in hand with the Arcane Tyrant, you won't be able to use this in a better way, right? So go ahead and play it out on the board. But typically, you want to use this for Nourish into Arcane Tyrant, into this, or maybe it's a huge board on the other side. You play Mind Control Tech into Floop for another Mind Control Tech, which is backbreaking. Or if you're running Giggling, you play a Giggling into this. Like, it has a lot of good value, like good tricky routes that you can take. And I really like the versatility it gives the deck. Like, you cannot underestimate the power of something like Spreading Plague, Arcane Tyrant, Flabidinous Flute. Like, that is a good board. And that's a very typical line of play with that deck. Another thing that maybe does not seem obvious, and that's why we also have the single Innervate, is so you can do something like King Togwoggle, pass the turn. Your opponent does whatever he does. I don't know. And then the next turn, you play Flabidinous Floop as a Togwoggle, Innervate as a Lina. So there, you've just found another route to lock out the combo, and you didn't have to use Dream Petal Florist or Twig, right? So that's cool with what Flabidinous Floop brings to the table. We're also running two swipes, and you know, swipes are just obviously good. You kind of need that against Rogue, right? You need that to answer Henchclan Thugs. It's good against 1/1s. It's good against, you know, token decks. If you get a Spreading Plague out there, maybe they attack into them. And at that one health breakpoint, that's when you throw out a swipe. You know, it's good against Giggling, kind of. You know, it's pretty decent. So, obviously, swipes a must use for the deck. A Twig of the World Tree. I've never played the combo without Twig of the World Tree, but I like the Twig. It has been destroyed by weapon removal very often, which almost surprises me because I'm really surprised that so many decks run weapon removal, but it's always a must answer. And even if you don't, like, obviously, you want to use a Twig and get it to one charge, then play King Togwoggle, use the 2 mana, attack with a Twig, get 10 mana. Typically, if this is towards the end of the game, then you'll do double naturalize and then play as Lina, or just play as Lina, you know, and steal his deck, and you know, that's it. End of discussion, right? But it's Twig is powerful, and other times you may just be playing Temple. You know, maybe he hasn't answered the board, you're way ahead on mana, you've been attacking with the Twig, and then you can just, you know, dump your hand, play a bunch of cards in your hand, activate Twig, throw UI, you know? And typically, UI is just such a broken card. It's crazy to think that in this meta, we have forgotten about how ridiculously strong a card like UI is. It is insane. And I think that's one of the things about Druid that's just crazy is this card. Like, you know, sure, there's other cards that are crazy. Spreading Plague is pretty nuts, I guess, even after the nerf. But UI is really the backbone of a lot of, and ramp are the backbone of a lot of what's wrong with the class. But, you know, we're not here to talk about how OP Druid is. We're here to talk about this Togwoggle deck, right? So next card is Arcane Tyrant. You know, if you play a spell that costs five or more, then these guys come in for free, and it's great. This is just huge tempo. You know, a Nourish into a Tyrant, Starfall into a Tyrant, Spreading Plague into a Tyrant, those are UI into a Tyrant. There are just so many lines of play. And usually those lines of play with the free 4/4 on board are pretty nice, you know. Imagine how, like, just think about how strong, like, some of these spells are on their own, right? Spreading Plague against a board of 1/1s or whatever. Starfall to clear a board. You know, UI, right? Like, think about the power of those cards. Now think about the power of those cards and getting a free 4/4. That's the power of Arcane Tyrant. Other situations will be nothing else to do in hand. You have five mana. Go ahead and play Arcane Tyrant for tempo. That's the name. Like, you don't have to play him for free to get the value. If there's nothing else than you would have done on a turn, then you might as well just play him. So that's a play. Nourish. We have two Nourishes. Nourish is fucking one of the strongest Druid cards. It's ridiculously strong. Often I use it for ramp, especially because you want to limit your draw pretty much to UI. But if I already got the mana and I haven't drawn into, like, specific cards, then I'll play Nourish for draw. But typically, like, you know, really, really, the deck is, you know, you want to use your tools pretty liberally. Like, you don't want cards in hand because you really want UI, space for UI to refill those hands. So one Starfall. This used to be Giggling Inventor for me. And Giggling Inventor was okay, but I found Giggling Inventor very clunky, especially with Azalina or with Dream Petal Florist, because obviously I don't want Dream Petal Florist to hit Giggling. I want it to hit Azalina or Togwoggle. So that means I have to get rid of Giggling. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of people playing counters to it. Mossy Horror, Blood Knight, Mind Control Tech. Like, the card is just really easy to answer. And we're talking about the most broken card in the game right now. This is the card that everyone hates. And for me, it is the highest drawn win rate card in my deck. Giggling with my original list of 60 games or whatever, 58 games. And it was really hard for me to cut. But I cut it because it just didn't fit the gameplay in the way I was playing it. I replaced it with Starfall, which is another 5 damage versatile removal, 2 damage to a wide board, or 5 damage to a big guy. And I kind of liked that, especially at this 5 mana breakpoint. And also that it was a spell and it was not a creature, so that my Dream Petal Florist had more room to work with. Yeah, so I really like Starfall. I think it does things. It's not a must-have at all. I think there are quite a few options you could use, but it's statistically, looking at other decks, it's, or other builds that use Starfall, it's overperformed. It's performed pretty well. A lot of people pair with Blood Mage Thalnos, and I think that's good too. But I just can't find the room. I really like the deck the way I have it right now. I don't think I need to fit in that card, especially if I'm going to be holding it just to play it with Starfall. I don't like that. I don't like having to hold things for combos. This is a deck that doesn't want to do that. This deck wants to be proactive. Like, you want to get to the end of the deck so that you can play your combo, and versus aggro, you just want to tempo them out. So one Starfall, two Spreading Plague. Obviously, Spreading Plague is the broken, okay? It's broken. This is one of the reasons why Druid can be as greedy as it is because, hey, man, if you can get to 6 mana, you might be able to stall that board just long enough. Now, there are counters, like Mossy Horror is a counter. Mind Control Tech can be an issue. Void Ripper can, you know, be tough. But This card is strong. Okay, I can't believe this card was cheaper than 6 mana at one point. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, and typically you want to get your max value out of it. Like, you want to wait for them to go pretty wide, but sometimes you might be in a situation where you just need to spend a card, especially if you know your next few turns. Like, if you know that you're going to play a UI that's in your hand in the next 2 or 3 turns and you just need a free space, then maybe it's okay to play Spreading Plague for 2 creatures, you know? It's such a versatile card, very strong. And versus some decks, if they're unable to clear them out efficiently, then they leave a formidable board the next turn. Because if they leave 3 or 4 of these guys on the board and you have a Branching Paths in the board, like 4 of these is 4 damage, right? You add +2 damage to that, that's 12 damage. That's legitimate, right? That's significant. 1 Azalina Soul Thief, you use it for the combo. In some matchups, you just play it naked just to refill the hand for tempo, right? Like against some aggro decks, if they still got cards in hand, against Warrior, depending on the outcome of the game, if they've already played an Azalina or whatnot, or you expect them to have Azalina. There's different lines of play with this. But, you know, obviously it's integral to the combo, right? And we've talked about the combo before. Dream Petal Florist, if you don't have the Twig, if you don't have the Innervate, and you don't have the Forbidden's Flute, you need Dream Petal Florist to activate your combo. And it has to hit Azalina or King Togwoggle. But yeah, integral card. We only have one. We only need one. And it's kind of cute to do something like Dream Petal Florist, maybe coin into Forbidden's Flute for a double discount if you need to. Malfurion the Pestilent, which is super strong. This card is what is one of the win conditions, okay? Like, this card is a keep in a lot of mulligans. because you can't just do the combo and not have Malfurion. Like, if you give them a Malfurion, you may lose. Because Malfurion represents 3 damage or 3 armor per turn. And that is significant. That is 3 turns worth of regular hero power. So it's important that you kind of played Malfurion before the combo often. This is not always necessary, but it will help a lot. And, you know, every turn that your opponent doesn't get face damage and that you get to activate your hero power means you've done 3 turns worth of value, pretty much. You know what I mean? Also, typically, this is something that Sippy taught me, is that if you have less cards in your deck, like, it's very likely you're going to mill out your deck and do the combo, then you use the hero power defensively. You use it for armor. But if your opponent has less cards in the deck, which means like you may or may not be able to do the Togwoggle part of the combo, then you use it aggressively. You attack the face so that you can get more damage on him, so that when he does run out of cards, he can just go straight into naturalized shenanigans without having to force a Togwoggle play. And we got King Togwoggle. Obviously, you know, I've talked about the combos already, like Togwoggle, break your weapon, or Togwoggle into Flibbinus Floop, or Dream Petal Florist on Togwoggle, all of these into Azalina. Usually what you want to do is draw out every card in your deck, or at least like down to 1 card maybe. And then play Togwoggle, double naturalize first, then the Azalina. Because if you play the Azalina before the naturalize, you use the naturalize. So obviously, be cognizant of that. And the combo is not needed all the time. Sometimes you can just play the Togwoggle on 8. Like, if an aggressive deck is just top decking, just play it on 8 and swap decks. So he has to use a turn, like a 5 mana, in order just to get the deck back. You know what I mean? Because if you have some kind of relevant board and you play a 5/5 there, he needs to use 5 mana to get his resources back and then use the remaining mana to deal with your board or find lethal, right? And the final card is, of course, Ultimate Infestation, the best druid card printed ever, probably. And we're playing 2 of them, right? And this card, you play whenever you have 10 mana. And often, you... against aggressive decks, the combo is not necessary. So it's okay to overdraw 1 or 2 cards, okay? some, like, it is okay to play a UI with six or seven cards in hand. It's not always a bad thing, especially if you have like cards like Innervate or Arcane Tyrant already in hand. So you know that even if you burn one or two cards, that you at least be able to get rid of something in your hand so you go back down to nine. And that's fine. It's perfectly fine. The only times you don't want to do that is when you know you need to win with the combo. And that's what we'll talk about now, right? In terms of matchups with the decks. But right before we get right into that, sorry, I'm losing my voice here. Talk about the how I did with the deck, okay? So I played two versions of the deck. One version, I played 57 games. And I went 36 and 21. My initial run with that deck was 17 and 1. My first 18 games of this deck, I went 17 and 1. And then I went on a six-game losing streak, and I kind of evened that out over time, right? So 36 and 21. When I played that list, my toughest matchup was Druid, where I ended up 3-6. I was 6-5 versus Hunter, 4-3 versus Mage, 1-0 versus Paladin. 7-5 versus Hunter, 4-3 versus Mage, 1-0 versus Paladin, 3-1 versus Priest, 5-1 versus Rogue, 3-1 versus Shaman, 6-3 versus Warlock, 4-1 versus Warrior. So winning records against everything except Druid, and I lost to like one or two Malygos Druids. I lost the mirror two or three times, and I may have lost to a Token Druid. So, but everything else was pretty good there. That was the deck that I had with Giggling Inventor. When I switched out to the main deck that has Starfall, I went 2-1 versus Druid, 4-4 versus Hunter, 1-1 versus Mage, 0-1 versus Paladin, 1-0 versus Priest, 3-0 versus Rogue, 3-0 versus Shaman, 1-3 versus Warlock, and 1-0 versus Warrior. So we're going to talk about each class right now and how I think about the matchup and mulligans and what we should do. So Druid, based on my stats, it was the matchup I did the worst, right? I was 5-7. I do, and you know what? It is kind of tricky to play the mirror, because really the mirror is about whoever gets the combo first. And also when you are in the mirror, you got to make sure you burn your naturalizes ASAP and then play Azalina so that your opponent doesn't copy your naturalizes and you get stuck in a naturalized loop. That's ridiculous. The mirror sucks. I hate the mirror. Versus all Druid, even versus Token Druid, like since they're not exactly very fast, I think you UI for ramp, obviously you want to get Wild Growth, Nourish, but you also want Ultimate Infestation. Twig, I would keep Twig, and I would keep Malfurion. Naturalize is also important in the matchup, so if you have any of those four other cards, I definitely think about maybe keeping a Naturalize, but only if you have UI, Wild Growth, Twig, Nourish, and Malfurion, okay? So, like I said, that mirror is tough. Taunt or Token Druid is, it's manageable, especially with Mind Control tech and just you're making very strong tempo plays. You know, you're ramping hard, and but you always just got to try your best to keep their board clear. And when they go wide, you answer with a Spreading Plague, you know, throw some Mind Control techs out there. You can win those games easily because Token Druids really rely on power turns. The toughest Druid deck, and I guess I didn't really cover that, is a Taunt Druid, okay, or Big Druid. I don't know how you can beat them. To be honest, I think that matchup is very, very difficult. One of the worst matchups for us, simply because, man, if they get Harjanox out there and you don't steal it with Mind Control tech, then you just don't have the resources to kill them. Like, you can't get around the taunts enough. Like, it's a nightmare matchup. So I need more experience playing versus that. Next matchup is Hunter. If there's a class you don't want to face, it is Hunter. Okay, like, Death Rattle Hunter sucks. Spell Hunter is manageable. But gosh, and it's crazy because I had a 11-9 win rate versus Hunter, which is just slightly above 50%, which I'm going to say is really good, guys. That's a Hunter was the most prevalent class. Yeah, the most prevalent class for me. 24% of my matches were versus Hunter, and I went 11-9 with versus them. So I did all right. I didn't do too bad. So Hunter, I think you keep Malfurion. Spreading Plague is good versus Hunter. I would also even think about keeping Mind Control techs, depending. And you definitely keep Ramp, right? So Wild Growth, Twig. Nourish might be a little too slow. But Ultimate Infestation might be an okay keep, especially since you need to be able to play that on curve. That matchup's difficult. Death Rattle Hunter, I really don't know. Like, it's just, I struggled a lot versus that deck, even though I did win versus many of them. Rexxar is a tough hero power to deal with. Once Rexxar comes out, you're really racing. Like, you are really just trying to mill your deck and then combo. And that is a matchup where you are looking for the combo. Okay, it's important there. That's where you're going to get all the extra damage. Versus Spell Hunter, it's not as bad because you don't really have to proc the traps until you're ready to. And you have so many tools to mitigate the effects of the traps. You can use an Arcane Tyrant to mitigate the effect of a freezing trap. You can use Mind Control tech to deal with their Spellstone turns. You can use Spreading Plague. That matchup is nowhere near as difficult as Death Rattle Hunter. But yeah, it can still pose threats, especially if Rexxar comes out. Mage, I went 5-4 versus Mage? I did go 5-4 versus Mage. I don't know if it really, this just depends on the start. Mana Worm turn one can be difficult, but this is a matchup where I think the Oaken Summons package is way better than a Mind Control tech package. Mind Control tech is a dead card here. Like, you just play it on curve if you have nothing else to do, because they'll never go wide. Okay. This deck is all about landing early game threats and playing tempo spells. So Oaken Summons is great, right? Because of the 6 armor and a 3/6 taunt on the board that they either have to use a spell for or throw their minion into. And it's a 3 damage minion, so it hits all their relevant breakpoints. But yeah, that matchup is just keep fucking Mana Worms and Kirin-Tor mages or whatever off the board and use your armor as often as you can. You very likely want Malfurion. I think that's the card you want the most. Wild Growth is good. Spreading Plague is okay. Lesser Jasper Spellstone I'd even keep just so you can deal with Mana Worms. Hit it for 2, then attack it with the hero power. Yeah, that matchup is it can be tricky. It's pretty 50-50 in my opinion. But if you're able to get Malfurion out and out armor their damage, then you're gonna win. Especially if like they play into a Luneth, which obviously most of them do. You just wait for them to draw most of their deck, then smack them with the double naturalize, and you're living large as long as you can survive their burst. There's a big Spell Mage. I actually only played 1, and I beat them pretty handily. And to beat them, actually, in the match that I played versus Big Spell Mage, what I did was they had 8 cards in hand, so I just naturalized, and then I played Togwoggle without the Azalina. So we just swapped decks. Miraculously for me, they hadn't drawn Jaina, and they kind of just lost there. So that was another route. Paladin, I only played 2 Paladins the entire climb. Both were odd Paladin. You keep Swipe, you keep Mind Control tech, in my opinion. You keep Lesser Jasper Spellstone, you keep Ramp. That matchup is winnable. It's winnable. My one loss to them, I had no cards that I could play before turn 6, and that sucked. So Priest is an easy matchup, I think. I lost 1 Priest game, and it was to a Mechathon Priest, and I am certain I could have beaten that Priest by just playing a little differently. this versus Priest, you want to keep UI, you want to keep Nourish, you want to keep Wild Growth, you want to keep Twig, you want to keep Malfurion. You can be very greedy against Priest. You do have to worry about like Inner Fire, Divine Spirit types of mech Priest or whatnot, but those are easy enough to play around. Priest doesn't put enough early game pressure for you to feel worried. Like, you just need to be cognizant of what their plans are. Is he Boar Priest? Is he Mechathune Priest? Is he Mind Blast Priest? You know, is he going for, is he throwing out a 1-5 Golem? Is he the Divine Spirit Priest? Like, once you can identify what they are, you're in good shape. You know, you just need to, you know, be able to answer these plays. The thing about them is sometimes it takes time to identify what they are, but that's good, because if your biggest problem is worrying about what they are, then that means they're not attacking you and they're putting no pressure, and that's great. Rogue, I went 8-1 versus Rogue. That is crazy. I cannot believe I went 8-1 versus Rogue. Like I said, remember, Mind Control Tech is not as good against Odd Rogue as Oaken Summons is, but we went 8-1 versus Rogue. I cannot believe I have not lost. I've only lost one game versus a Rogue. Wow. I believe my loss was to a Quest Rogue, but I guess Odd Rogue is a pretty good matchup, I guess. To me, it gets pretty scary, especially if you can't answer a Hench Clan Thug on 4 or 3. So that's why Lesser Jasper Spellstone is pretty much a keep to me. Swipe is a keep to me. Twig, Wild Growth, Nourish, but definitely Swipe. That's probably one of the most important cards in that matchup. I would keep a Spellstone. Like, I think a Spellstone is still pretty good, even if you don't have a way to get it to 4 immediately. That matchup is just keep off the big threats. Kill the Fissure Fledglings, kill the Hench Clan Thugs, you know, ride it into a Spreading Plague turn or something and kill them with tempo. That's not a deck where you need to combo. Okay, that's a deck where you're going for tempo. You're just going to play a bunch of bigger creatures on the board, bigger quality on the board. Warlock, this to me was a second or third most difficult deck to deal with. I went 7-6. My most recent build, the build that does not run Giggling but runs Starfall, I'm 1-3. And I don't know, sometimes Zoo decks, they get Kaliseth on turn 2, they get the Soul Infusion on the Doubling Imp. Sometimes they get a Doomguard and it tosses like other junk, and then they get to play the other Doomguard. Like, stuff happens, guys. You know what I mean? It's just a strong deck overall, right? Like, you know, you can imagine the 2-1 deal 2 damage, draw a card, into Voodoo Doctor or Witch Doctor, whatever it's called, into double Happy Ghoul. Like, gosh, man, that is the roughest archetype to deal with. But it's beatable. You just got to make sure you got the good curve. Cards that I'd like to see in a mulligan outside of ramp, Lesser Jasper Spellstone is decent, and definitely Mind Control Tech, because, you know, they're going to go wide and Spreading Plague. So Wild Growth, Nourish, Lesser Jasper Spellstone, Mind Control Tech, then maybe Ferocious Howl, Spreading Plague. There is other Warlock decks, right? There's Control Warlock decks. Really, you got to worry about Demonic Project for the decks that play that. I cannot believe I ran into a deck that was running Demonic Project yesterday, and that was one of my losses, but, you know, oh well, right? Variance. And the easiest deck, the deck that you want to see all the time, is Warrior. Right now, there's only two real main Warrior archetypes, Odd Warrior and Mechathune Warrior, Control Warrior, and I am 5-1 versus them. That's the easiest matchup. I should be 6-0, but I did lose a game to Azalina. But that matchup is, you go very greedy, you keep UI, you keep Malfurion. Those are the two cards you want to see the most, and then you look for ramp with the rest of the cards there. But those are the matchups in a nutshell, and you're playing for the combo there, and you play for the combo immediately. Just make sure he doesn't get all the good cards he can get. You know, make sure you have a Malfurion, I think. And then, yeah, you know, hopefully you can get it before he goes into his Dr. Boom turn, right? It's almost unlosable, like, to be honest. You can even just, like, you have so much time that you can actually draw out your entire deck and do the combo. And I mean, regardless of armor, you're gonna be able to do well. Yep. So those are the matchups. Those are the mulligans. That's the deck. Pretty in depth there. Play style. You know, like one thing I want to stress is to use Ultimate Infestation as often, as early and as often as possible. And in some matchups, you're not playing as control. You're playing for tempo. So, you know, is a swipe going to clear a board and you're going to be able to keep some creatures on board? Then do it. It's okay. You know what I mean? You want to throw a UI to the face and put more pressure? Then do it. I think, I think it's doable, definitely. It's a good deck. I think it's hard to pilot, especially if you get the sucky matches, man. Like, I cannot believe Hunter is 24% of my meta. That is insane to see. But I'm sure you guys can do well with the deck. I'm only ranked 2 right now. I got how many games played? 84 games, 83 games. So 83 games played, ranked 2, and I think I started at rank 9 or rank 8. Yeah, we're going to see. I'm going to keep pushing with the deck, and hopefully I hit Legend in the next week or so. You know, I've been playing very limited. I played 14 hours worth of the deck. So, you know, I don't know. Use that knowledge at your discretion. 14 hours, it's been 19 days, so it's less than an hour a day. So, I mean, you know, I obviously don't play every day, right? So take that as what you will. If you have other tech choices that you like, let's talk about them. You know, let me know what version of the deck you like the best, what you like about Togwoggle. Do you like the Oaken Summons package? Do you like the Mind Control tech package? You know, what is it? Do you like Twig? Do you not like Twig? Do you like giggling in the back or not? You know, let me know. But again, guys, thanks for listening. Catch me on Twitter at twitter.com/consanityhs, or watch me on Twitch, where I play solely Togwoggle for the season. And that's at twitch.tv/consanity. You guys have a nice day.